and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month. This monthly cassette tape series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of helping the service contractor come to a place of maturity and profitability. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry will share dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. We all want to grow as leaders. Some will learn by trial and error, but those that really excel learn by closely observing the accomplishments and failures of other leaders. This month's tape is entitled Lessons in Leadership from Luminaries and Lunatics and will be of significant value to each of you. As we learn what qualities true leaders have, we can all grow at a faster rate. This month's speaker is familiar to our listeners. Last year, Sharon Roberts produced one of our most popular tapes called Selling to Women. Sharon is a sought-after speaker and global business consultant who serves as a confidant to leaders in small business organizations as well as Fortune 500 companies. She is a recognized authority in the areas of sales performance, organization effectiveness, and leadership development. Sharon is also the author of the path-breaking book, Selling to Women, What Every Salesman Should Know, and co-authored a new book entitled Lessons in Leadership from Luminaries and Lunatics, excerpts of which she is sharing on this tape. Sharon has a degree in business and public relations from the University of Texas and is a member of the National Speakers Association. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy listening to this most enlightening tape.
How many of you have ever heard of Cliff Young? Cliff Young is a potato farmer from the Australian outback. About 15 years ago, he turned the long-distance running world on its ear. There's a big race that they run every year between Sydney and Melbourne, and it's a real long race. It's something like 350 or 400 miles, if you can imagine that. World-class runners come from all over the place to run in this race. Now, Cliff kind of stood out in the crowd because, you see, among all these young, world-class athletes, he was 62 years old. He was a whole lot older than they were. And then to top it all off, he kind of dressed really weird. He had this kind of a weird old toe sack-looking garb that he wore. And he had these strange galoshes, and he kind of shuffled along. He didn't run like anybody else did. Well, the media thought he was absolutely incredible. I mean, they thought this guy was absolutely a riot. So they're interviewing him and asking him, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And Cliff, I want to win. Well, they thought that was crazy. Didn't make a bit of sense. He didn't stand a chance, but he was very sincere, seemed to be. Maybe a little bit crazy, they thought, but he expected to win. And you know what? He did. He won the race. He beat out world-class runners, and he beat them by a day and a half. Can you imagine, can you begin to imagine what happened in that area when a 62-year-old potato farmer beat out world-class athletes by a day and a half? You see, all the rest of these world-class runners, they ran the race the way it had always been run. You run 18 hours and you sleep 6 hours. But Cliff didn't live by that particular rule. Cliff didn't sleep. He just kept on running. Cliff Young forever changed long-distance racing. Now, nobody sleeps. They all run right straight through. Oh, and you know that funny old shuffling way that he ran? They all do that, too. Because, you see, it turns out it's much more efficient that way when you're running long distances. Do you think that anybody in the world of racing ever, in their wildest imaginations, expected that a 62-year-old potato farmer would be the one to revolutionize their sport? Speaking of competition and industries turned on their collective ears, and what industry isn't these days, everybody's facing competition like they've never seen it before. Consolidation, franchising, deregulation, variations and hybrids of all of them, and on and on. You know firsthand, the trades are right in the middle of it. I speak at conferences and conduct workshops all over the place with all kinds of folks. many of them in the trades, and I tell you, I hear it and I see it all. Some owners are scared absolutely out of their minds. Some are so mad, and then some are just downright depressed. But always, always, there are some of them that they're just about as happy as clams. They aren't just surviving, they're thriving, and they're having a ball all along the way. They're enjoying the ride. They're the luminaries, those remarkable people that always seem to manage to turn lemons into lemonade. And there are some that at first glance, you'd swear they're really crazy. You might think, in fact, they're certifiable. But it turns out many of them are really very brilliant. I call them the brilliant lunatics, and they are everywhere. You may be one of them. Those amazing luminary leaders are in every industry, and I do mean every industry, from the trades to the airlines. Every single one of those luminaries do have something in common. The first thing that they have in common is all of them are open to learn from absolutely anybody, even from their competition. Now, that's one thing that's very different between luminary leaders and the losers. When competition comes along, whatever kind it is, the losers are often the first to fight it. They start to fight the competition. Luminary leaders look at it real differently. Their first thought is, maybe I can learn from them. Maybe they're onto something. Have I been missing something? Maybe I'm the one that's missing something. Like the runners in Australia, the people in the running business were blind to a very successful and really pretty obvious way to win a long-distance race. Don't sleep, just keep right on running. Luminary leaders learn from the competition, then they focus their time. Now, this is important. They learn from the competition, then they focus all their time, their money, and their energy on their customers and their employees, not the competition. Now, they don't ignore the competition, but they get all their resources focused in the people that count, their employees and their customers. That's a very significant difference. Luminaries get ideas from their own employees at every level of the organization. It makes no difference to them because they know that great ideas come from people all over the place, from the top to the bottom. It doesn't matter. Marriott Hotels is testing a suggestion that they got from their housekeepers to solve a pretty big problem they were having. And in fact, it's a problem that hotels everywhere struggle with, how to get the rooms turned faster. You've been there. You've stood in a hotel waiting for your room to be ready. And the maids, no matter how fast they work, still, they can't get them ready fast enough. So at Marriott, they decided to ask the housekeepers, what are your ideas? How do you think we can get these rooms turned faster? They're working as fast as they can. So the housekeepers suggested that if you'll let us work in pairs, we can really clean the rooms faster. I mean, getting around those big old king-size beds, That's hard when you keep doing that. Well, now you can imagine that some managers out there would say, God, you got to be kidding me. If we put these people together, they're going to wind up just talking, having a lot of fun. I don't think they'll get anything done. But that isn't what happened. Quite the contrary. The housekeepers loved the camaraderie. They are cleaning the rooms faster. And a benefit that the managers hadn't expected. Absenteeism dropped dramatically. You know why? The housekeepers didn't want to let their partner down. Luminary leaders welcome ideas from everybody, even the housekeepers. Luminary leaders are always on the lookout for good ideas, and they don't care where they come from. Carl Sewell, some of you may have heard of him. You may have read his book, Customers for Life. He's the owner of a $250 million, probably bigger than that by now, Cadillac and Lexus dealership in Dallas. Carl devoutly believes that it's kind of silly to go around reinventing the wheel. He's found out that he can get great ideas from people all over the place. Why create something when people are already finding great ways to handle difficult situations? He got one of his best ideas that helped his business by taking his children to Chuck E. Cheese. Now, for those of you that may not have ever been to Chuck E. Cheese, it's a kid's pizza place, and I'm here to tell you that is one wild and crazy place. It's loud, and they've got these big old animatronic animals, games. I mean, the kids are having a blast, but it's a wild and crazy place. So when Carl placed his pizza order, he's thinking, now how in the world can I possibly hear them when they call my name or call this number? And the clerk said to him, and oh, and when your pizza is ready, it's going to appear up here on the wall. It'll light up. And every time a pizza's ready, there's just kind of this little ding that will go off, kind of a pleasant little sound. It'll chime, and you'll know that more pizzas are coming up. Well, talk about light bulbs going off. Carl knew that this was just what he needed in his business. Now think about it. This was what was going on in his dealership, and how many times have you been in this situation? With the old system, when the customer's car is ready, the cashier would pick up the microphone and ask the attendant to bring up car number 273, you know, blast out over the loudspeakers. Now when the attendant heard the announcement, then they'd bring the car around. But sometimes, as you can imagine, they were already in a car with the windows rolled up, bringing one around, so they didn't even hear it. So announcements were blaring all day long, and the customers would stand out there and wait and wait and wait. And then sometimes the car didn't come around, so ultimately they'd go to the cashier, tell them what happened, and they'd start this all over again. Now the employees, of course, were, oh, they felt really bad about it. They apologized, but Carl knew that there was no amount of apologizing and that his employees could smile until their face cracked. But this was not a problem with the employees, it was a system problem. And the Chuck E. Cheese system was precisely what he needed. And so that's what he got. Now, all the cashier has to do is just go to the computer, key in car number 273, and out there on that board in the area where the lot attendants are, it flashes the number. So it doesn't matter how much noise is going on, they know they need to bring car number 273 around. No more blaring loudspeakers and aggravated customers. The second characteristic of luminary leaders is they have a very clear vision and mission. And this is not something that's just a plaque on the wall. This is something that they live, and they live it every day. Luminary leaders clearly communicate that vision. Now there's a novel concept. And the mission, and they communicate it in such a way that every single employee clearly understands what their role is and how they can actually make that happen. Spend 30 minutes with employees in any company, and you'll quickly know if that leadership lives the vision and the mission, and whether or not those are just of so many pretty words up there on a plaque on the wall. Tell you about a man that at first glance you sure might think is a crazy man. He knows how to communicate a vision. His name is Dieter Kuberg. Dieter has a business in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And one of the goals that he had was to upgrade the image of his company. It was a vision, and he had a mission to do that. He wanted to upgrade the image of his company, and he wanted to reach new markets in the process. He and his employees had been looking for ways to do that. So one day, Dieter was in his car, and now remember that luminary leaders, they're always on the lookout for great ideas. He was listening to the radio. He kept hearing this fashion show advertised, and he noticed at the end of the ad, they would say, sponsored by. Dieter got to thinking, well now, what if we sponsored the fashion show? And then, next year, we would hear them announcing, sponsored by, and it would be his company. He thought, that just might be the ticket to actually achieve the goal that they had to upgrade the image of their company and they'd reach new markets. After all, who attends fashion shows? Well, women certainly do, and not just any women, but women that have money. Oh man, by this point, Dieter is really pumped. So he began to check into just what it would take to be a sponsor next year. And then Dieter did something that luminary leaders do. He didn't just dump this idea on his employees. He presented his thoughts to them about to see what they might think about it, the inside staff as well as the installers and technicians. They're open to new ideas, but I'm here to tell you that the installers and technicians thought that Dieter Kuberg had gone right over the edge. Now, he'd come up with a lot of ideas before, and they'd done a lot of things, but this was just too much. Who in the world ever heard of an heating and air conditioning company sponsoring a fashion show? Upgrading the image of the company was one thing, but a fashion show? I don't think so. Surely, there must be another way. But Dieter also understands another really important concept luminary leaders do, and that brings up the area of change. Luminary leaders know that there are three very important steps to change, and they don't shortchange any of them. And they know that one of the first steps is something that is often referred to as unfreezing. And when you think about it, that kind of makes sense, because when we get into a way of doing things, we sort of get frozen into a way of doing it. May not be anything wrong with it, but it's just the way we do things, and we sort of get frozen into the way of doing that. And then when we need to make a change, whether it's a big change or a little change, and somebody mentions it to us, one of the first things we do is we start going through our mind to figure out, what is there anything in my experience that I can relate to that has anything like this? And the reason that we do that, and we all do it, it's not because we hate change. It's not true that people hate change and don't want to change. The problem is, it is the fear of the unknown that concerns people, and luminary leaders know that. So once they present ideas, they don't get upset when people start to ask questions about this and about that. They know that that's a natural part of the unfreezing process. They need to thaw a little bit on that, and it may take a little bit of time. It may not take a year and a half. It may not take a week and a half, but it certainly will take a little bit of time, and they know they cannot shortchange that process if they want to have a successful change. They also help their people get through the change. They provide training. They bring in resources, whatever it takes, if it's new systems, whatever, to help people successfully get through that change. And all the time they're going through this, they're always helping people to understand frames of reference, something they can relate to that is like this, so it's much, much easier to accomplish. And then they don't leave out that very critical phase, the third phase, and that's called the refreezing. Because you see, just like it is back when things are frozen, and then when they unfreeze, we make the change, and then we must allow time and monitor the process for it to refreeze. Because if we don't monitor that change process all the way through to a total refreeze, it isn't going to happen. Because you know how we are under the best of circumstances, we may go right back the way we were before, even though we know the new process may be better. But it takes time. Well, to put it in everyday perspective, I mean, think about how hard it is just when you move your trash can from the right side of the desk to the left. How long does it take you to get used to the idea that it's on this side instead of the other side? That takes a little doing, and that's not even a complicated process. Now, the fourth characteristic that luminary leaders have is they treat absolutely everyone with great respect. One luminary leader told me about a professor in college that taught him that lesson in a way that he never forgot it. And this was the situation. The students came into the class, and the professor passed out a pop quiz, the dreaded pop quiz. And then, of course, you know how you do. They raced through the questions, and lo and behold, the last question they thought was a little bit strange. It said, what is the name, the first name, of the lady who cleans our school? This guy said he thought, this can't be real. I mean, I've seen her around here plenty of times, we all have, but I don't have a clue what her name is. So some brave soul raised their hand and asked the professor, "Is this last question really going to count?" And the professor said, "Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Throughout your careers, you are going to meet all kinds of people. And it's important for you to understand that every single one of them are important. And they all deserve your care and your attention, if it is only a smile and a hello." So that's a lesson I absolutely never forgot. It has served me well. And I also never forgot her name. It's Dorothy. I believe that leaders would absolutely be floored if they realized how much employees watch how they treat people. Not just employees, but how they treat all people. And when I say leaders, I don't just mean the owners. I mean owners, managers, but also those people in the organization that are not necessarily official leaders. You know, the unofficial leaders, and every organization has them. People watch how leaders treat employees, for sure. They watch how they treat customers, suppliers. They watch how they treat their own family, and then they watch how they treat customers' families, even waiters, waitresses, absolutely everyone. And for employees, it's pretty basic. They see it in pretty basic terms. Do you build people up or do you tear them down? For example, loser leaders, you might hear them refer to customers that they don't like as, "Oh, it's that crazy old bat," or "that mean old buzzard." None of you would ever do that, of course. You won't hear luminary leaders, you won't hear them talking about customers like that, because they absolutely love and appreciate their customers. It's a core value, and every employee knows that, because great leaders live that value every single day. Bill Lee is a dealer that's outside of Chicago, and his employees see that core value in action all the time. They know Bill loves and appreciates his customers. One day he got a rather unusual call. It was a little girl, and she was calling to arrange an appointment for her parents. And as it turns out, this was a Chinese family, and the parents didn't speak English. So the little girls just like 6 and 8 years old, were literally serving as interpreters to help the parents buy a furnace. Now I ask you, how many people would have taken that call seriously? How many of them would have even wanted to bother with it? But Bill is one of those leaders, one of those great leaders, and he treats all of his customers with dignity and respect, including the children. Luminary leaders are always looking for ways to make things better, easier, smoother for their customers. And Aaron York is one of those contractors. He's in Indianapolis, Indiana, and one of the things that he discovered was that there were an awful lot of people in his community that were hearing impaired. So one of the first things he did when he really realized that was he had one of those telecommunication device systems for the deaf installed so it would be easy for those customers. And then he went another step. He brought someone in to teach them just some basic sign language so they could communicate a little better with those customers. Can you even imagine? Do you think the employees noticed? Oh, you can count on it. They were involved. Good employees are drawn to well-run companies with a heart. Great leaders lead with a caring spirit, and they know that they don't have to sacrifice the bottom line to do it. In fact, they know firsthand that it grows the bottom line. Luminary leaders treat employees with the same care and respect the way they treat customers. Employees want to make decent money, but more than that, they want to know that they are really valued and appreciated. You can say all day long until the cows come home that you value and appreciate your employees. You can even write it in your mission statement that employees are our most important asset. But do you know what? Employees know that your actions speak far louder than your words. Did any of you ever hire a bozo or a bozette? They come both men and women. Oh, you know the type. You've probably hired one or two yourself. We all have, probably, in spite of our best efforts. They're demeaning, and they belittle the people they work with. I try to make them feel small, inadequate, just downright miserable. Now, why in the world do they act like that? Well, who knows what all are the reasons why Bozo acts that way, but one thing, it looks like he just has a real great need to control you and others. He knows people fear him and feel inferior to him, and he likes that. He knows it's pretty unlikely you'll fire him because he also knows, and you've probably noticed this, that very often seems to be some of the worst bozos are some of your most technically competent people. Now, how in the world is it that we happen to hire bozos? One of the things that I have discovered in the trades is sometimes we kind of pass those folks around. You might have done that. We've heard the stories. We know all about this guy. We know that he or she is a real problem. But it's just hot as blue blazes, and we need a good tech. He may be good technically, but certainly not good with employees or customers. And can you even imagine what it's like for the employees that bear the brunt of Bozo day in and day out? If you're the employee, think about that miserable thorn in your side every day. One man called it Bozo cancer. He said they infect everybody. He said good employees don't believe you care and respect them when you keep Bozo around to torment them every day. Now, loser leaders will say, well, I tell you what, these people are adults and you're just going to have to work it out. That is neither leadership nor management. That's abdication. And luminary leaders don't tolerate bozos. They know that Bozo is a loser, and they know that Bozo costs them far more customers and good employees than he could ever possibly be worth. Bozo is a loser. They don't keep Bozo around to punish their good and valued employees. Just maybe that's the reason they keep good, loyal employees around. The American Indians tell us a story about a young Indian boy to remind us that Bozo really, really cannot be trusted. A young Indian boy climbed up a mountain to prove his manhood, and that was that he was worthy, now to join the men in the tribe. When he finally made it to the top of the mountain, and as he's looking out at how far he's come, he heard a rattlesnake at his feet. Oh, he jumped back. And as he jumped back, the rattlesnake said, "Don't be afraid, I won't hurt you. So I'm hungry and I'm cold. Please put me in your shirt, keep me warm, and feed me." Of course, the Indian wasn't falling for that. Well, the rattlesnake kept it up. "Oh," he said, "please, please, I'm cold." So finally, against his better judgment, because you see, the rattlesnake promised, "I won't bite you." So he picked him up, put him in his shirt, took him down the mountain, and when he got to the bottom of the mountain, he went to let the snake out, and as he did, the snake bit him on the hand. And as this young Indian boy lay dying, he looked at the snake and he said, "You promised you wouldn't. You promised you wouldn't." And the snake looked at him and said, "You knew what I was. You knew what you were doing. Bozo is a liar. And he's a loser." Good employees stay where they are appreciated and valued, and they don't stay where Bozo lives. It's human nature that people want and need heartfelt recognition, and that goes for people of all ages, men and women. Just about every workshop I do, someone will say, "Well, what's the deal? I'm paying these people good money. It's their job to do this. What's this stuff about employees needing to be praised? Adults shouldn't need all this coddling. And besides that, I don't even have time for it." Luminary leaders, on the other hand, they never miss an opportunity to let their people know how much they appreciate them. It's personal and it's genuine. It comes right from their heart. And you know what? They don't call it coddling. They don't think it is coddling. It's called genuinely valuing their employees. Employees value recognition that's tied to a specific performance. And they value recognition that comes from their manager or their supervisor not the company. The company is an entity. They value personal recognition. Thanks and pats on the back, they're better than nothing. But, oh, far much better is a personal note. When you've knocked yourself out, you've really went above and beyond, or maybe you just consistently, day after day, month after month, year after year, do a good job. Nobody wants to get just a stock note that says, thanks for your hard work. That could have blown off of anybody's desk anywhere. Luminary leaders know how important it is to be specific. They know that it takes just another line or two, just 2 or 3 minutes, to write a genuine thank you note. Luminary leaders look for all kinds of ways to find meaningful ways to reward their really good employees. Over and over, one of the things that I hear all over the country, and this is from both men and women at all levels of the organization, it's surprising how many times they say, you know what I'd really like more than anything? I just wish that he or she, whomever their manager is, would stop. Would just stop, look me in the eye, and really mean it when they say they appreciate what I'm doing. Now, sometimes even good people forget to do that. We get busy and we forget. Or sometimes we think people at a certain age or position not only don't need it, but don't want that kind of touchy-feely sort of stuff. Folks, this is human nature. People don't get over the need for genuine appreciation and recognition. It touches people at an emotional level, and that's what really makes people go. Some companies do nice things like giving people turkeys and hams at holiday times, and that's a good thing for companies to do. But luminary leaders know that it does not take the place of a sincere personal appreciation. They know that in July, when it's hot as blazes and people are working outside or up in attics, there's not a single one of them that say, oh, God, I know it's hot up here, but I gotta hang in here and finish because they're gonna give me a turkey at Christmas time. Luminary leaders reward their people now. They know that appreciation and reward can't wait till Christmas. The sixth characteristic of great leaders is integrity. Honor and integrity. Luminary leaders are people of exceptionally high integrity. Employees know they are honest with customers and employees. They know they don't cut corners on customers. Did any of you ever have a manager ask you to lie? Early in my career, that happened to me, and it was just an awful experience. My manager, his name was Jack, and he told me to be expecting a call from a mortgage company. His son was going to be buying a house, and he said they would be calling to verify employment, salary, all that stuff. And that was in the line of what I did. I got calls like that all the time. It's no big deal. And he said, he acted kind of funny, and he said, and I want you to tell them, I want you to tell them that Charles has been here 2 years. Well, I knew that Charles had been there less than 6 months. And then he went on to tell me that he wanted me to also tell them that he made $250 a month more than he actually made. I don't know how to tell you what that was like. Up until this point, I had so greatly and highly respected this leader, I couldn't believe he was asking me to lie. Now, you need to understand kind of where I was coming from. One, I needed my job really bad, and also, I was brought up in church. And so if you lied, you know, they told us that we'd go to hell. So here I was real young, but I needed my job, but I was really caught between a rock and a hard place. I could either lie. If I lied, I'd keep my job. But if I lied, I'd go to hell. Well, you know what my decision was. There wasn't any way I was going to hell. So I told Jack, I was quaking all the way, but said, I just can't do that. I can't lie. Jack said he'd take the call, and he did. But you know what? I always wondered. I didn't work there too much longer. Not because he fired me, but because I just wasn't comfortable. I always wondered, what else is he lying about? Now contrast that to another leader who's quite a luminary leader. His people had just completed an extremely difficult and very intricate welding job. When it was all done, the supervisor saw that the job just really wasn't up to their standards. Now, this meant that there was something like $2,000 just invested in just material alone, and then there was labor on top of that. But he told the owner, and with his own people looking on, "David, it's my fault. It's my fault that we had this problem. I knew from past experience that welding copper is extremely difficult. I just didn't spend enough time with the foreman or with the welders to show them what needed to be done." Can you even imagine? Can you even imagine how far that man went up in stature to the people that reported to him? Luminary leaders take responsibility for their mistakes. It's all about integrity. The seventh characteristic is one of the most important, and it is the one that is most often missing. It's enthusiasm and optimism. Not wild, overexcited, yelling and waving arms all over the place necessarily, but what it is an ardent, genuine zeal. What's your leadership enthusiasm level? I was working with a group in Indianapolis one time, and I asked them that question. What would you say is your leadership enthusiasm level? Would you say that it's, oh, sort of like a tired, worn-out old hound dog? Or would you say it's wild and crazy, off the charts, maybe like old John Madden? One gentleman said, "Woof." Folks, that level of enthusiasm just ain't gonna get it. Luminary leaders must fire the passion in others, and they do. They share the excitement about what's coming up next. They don't live in the past and talk about the way it used to be. They're excited about what's coming up next. What possibilities. People want to be rescued from monotony, inertia. They want real purpose. Luminary leaders have a goal with a clear purpose and an excitement and enthusiasm to get there. That kind of enthusiasm with a clear purpose does inspire people to greatness. Optimism plus enthusiasm creates energy, and that equals creativity. People come up with the most amazing ideas from all over the place when they work in this kind of an environment. So what's the secret for being optimistic and enthusiastic even in these really tough times? And I don't think anybody would argue we're in some pretty tough times. The luminaries know that this is a fast-paced business environment, and all leaders can get burned out, and everybody suffers when that happens. Themselves, their families, their companies. And here's how they stay energized. First, they hang out with people that are optimistic and enthusiastic. They hang around with a lot of different kinds of business leaders. They don't limit themselves to people within their own business. They do not hang out with people that live in the past and talk about how bad it is, ain't it awful. They plan for success. They plan to go over the top. They're also careful about what they read. They're careful about the music they listen to. They go on retreats. They know that they need to get away and that some of their best ideas may come when they're at the seashore or doesn't matter, but they know they need to get away. And you know one of the things that they do? This is something that is common among great leaders. They know the power of having fun. Just plain fun. Luminaries know that great ideas are hatched when people are having a great time. Have you ever seen a lot of great ideas happen when people are hanging around complaining about how bad it is? It just doesn't happen. Luminary leaders know that the first 5 minutes of their day is very, very important in how they handle it. They know that it sets the tone, in fact, for the rest of the day. And how they behave affects their employees. Luminaries, in fact, don't be surprised if they wake up singing zippity-doo-dah. Losers, on the other hand, wake up with, "Sometimes I feel like a bug squashed on the windshield of life." You're the leader. Your employees will sing what you're singing. And that's how they'll represent you and your organization. Many of you have probably heard of Herb Kelleher. He's the CEO of Southwest Airlines, and this has been the most consistently profitable airline in the United States. When others have failed, struggled, Southwest has prevailed. Now, at first glance, If you would meet Herb Kelleher, spend any time with him at all, you might think that this man is absolutely a certifiable lunatic. You never know about Herb. You never know how he's going to show up at headquarters. Ask anybody that works for him. He may show up dressed up like Elvis, or he may get on one of his own Southwest flights dressed up like the Easter Bunny. When he lands, he may hop right down to the baggage claim area and help the people out there for a while. And back when SeaWorld named Southwest as their official airline to show his gratitude, you know what he did? He promptly painted one of their planes to look like Shamu, SeaWorld's killer whale. Is that the mark of a lunatic or what? Depending on your point of view, Herb Kelleher is either an extraordinary luminary or he's a raving lunatic. Whatever you call him, luminary or lunatic, he creates energy and enthusiasm, and that is infused throughout the entire company. Ever fly Southwest? They're the happiest, most fun-loving people. I had the opportunity to meet Herb Kelleher and spend several hours with him one day, and I can tell you this man is for real. He is absolutely incredible, has a fantastic sense of humor, and you know, one of the things that most clearly came through is this man absolutely, genuinely loves and respects his employees and his customers. It's his mission in life to make working and flying fun, and he does it. Does all this fun and camaraderie get in the way of people being productive and being efficient? Absolutely not. In fact, it's really quite the opposite. And what about the bottom line, the profits? That's what people always want to know. Well, Southwest has demonstrated year after year after year that a sense of humor that's combined with people that know what they're doing. You can't just have a sense of humor. You must be good at what you do, and they are. And they consistently produce excellence. And they grow larger and larger and more profitable year after year after year. I don't think it'll come as a surprise to you that Southwest employees are the most loyal in the industry. Enthusiastic people get great ideas from all over the place. They'd never miss an opportunity for ideas. And you know what? You never know. You never know where leadership is going to come from. It can come from the most unexpected people. That's what happened to a grocery store in the Midwest. They put all their people through a customer service workshop, and they put their frontline service providers in there. The cashiers, baggers, stockers, butchers. The workshop leader asked the people this question. What could you do? What do you think you might be able to do that's uniquely you that would tell your customers that they are important to you? And she told them she'd like to hear from some of them when they came up with their idea. So a couple of weeks later, she got a call from one of the young bag boys, Johnny. He was 19 years old, and he told her what he was doing. He said, you know, I've been collecting quotations for a long time, and so I decided that what I would do is just type those up, and then I would give those to my customers. Every day I would choose one. So that's what he did. Every day he would choose a quote for the day, make 150 copies, and when he would bag people's groceries, he'd smile at them like he'd always done. Only this time, he would say, and I'm putting my quote for the day in your bag. I hope it makes your day brighter. 3 weeks later, the store manager was making rounds and saw all these customers that were stacked up in Johnny's checkout line. The manager tried to usher them over to another line, but they wouldn't leave. They said, I want to get my quote for the day. The manager couldn't believe it. All these busy people, men and women, professionals, waiting in line just to get their quote for the day. What in the world was going on? Now, everyone in that store is doing something special for customers. The butcher likes Snoopy, so now when he wraps up their packages, he seals them with a Snoopy sticker. And when flowers get damaged, the people in the flower shop, well, they just trim off those broken stems, make corsages, and pin them on the customers. Everyone in the store, customers and employees, caught the spirit of enthusiasm that Johnny started. Clearly, even very busy people prefer to shop where they get personal, special treatment. And who would have imagined
that a 19-year-old bad boy, a remarkable boy with Down syndrome, would be the one to spark the spirit of enthusiasm for the whole store. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is luminary leadership by any standard.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's tape. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. A postage paid response card is also enclosed. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy & Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line, 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.